I'd take Trump, warts and all, over our complete and utter lawyer of a PM. Maybe the US buying Britain isn't such a crazy idea. Does anyone want to have a go at explaining what that means? And if you're unfortunate enough to have written tons of columns, many of them, of course, from America, about why he's so wonderful and why you love him and why he's so great and why you don't care about the self-confessed sex offending or the lying about elections or the launching of violent insurrections or the pardoning of convicted drug traffickers while you're arresting or kidnapping another one, about the grabbing of women by the genitals, about the abuse of disabled journalists and the abuse of genuine military heroes, Gold Star families. If you've convinced you don't care yourself, you don't care. He's my guy. I love him. My scarf is tight. Then what are you left with now? Don't support your own prime minister. Don't support your own government. Don't support your own country. Support the foreign leader with the CV I've just described to you, with an absolutely obvious disdain for morality. Don't support your own leader. Support the foreign leader who wishes you harm.
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
This is where I say it's Monday in America, but in a couple of weeks, we're not going to be every Monday. It's going to be weird. Everything's going to shift a little bit.
Okay.
My training for that gig is almost done. And
oh, that's right. You got the gig.
Yeah. And so it'll be, I have to work it, I think every other Saturday and Sunday, give or take.
Yeah. I feel like I should know more about this, but I'm kind of just learning this from you.
Yeah.
Now, how training is.
You're just kind of learning about it.
Yeah.
What is it your mom says?
I've known about it longer than you. Is that what you're saying?
My mom will ask me questions about Jeff and like different things going on in his life. And I'll be like, I don't know. And then she'll say finally, do you ever ask questions, you dipshit?
You have no idea how much. Right there. I love this woman. She's a delight. She really is. So it's not going to change much. Everything's going to hit your feeds. It'll all be fine, I promise. Just some things, instead of hitting at 4 o'clock in the morning, we'll probably hit at 4 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's my guessing. Maybe 5. Mm. So it might be Tuesday in America. All I'm saying is, we're 15 years in. I still can't think up a call sign, an ending stinger.
For the show.
Yeah. 15 years. It took like 8 or 9 years to get It's Monday in America. Mm-hmm. I almost renamed the show It's Monday in America. Thank God I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But regardless, this is the world's greatest political podcast. joining me this week, J.C. Carter.
Hello.
And Tiffany Steck Bell.
Hi.
It's been... some of you might be wondering what happened to your show last week. We had Dad's funeral. If you want to get in depth about it and hear me cry a little bit, you can go over to theleftshow.com and download. I think we dropped it on Friday last week. The newest episode of I Told You So, and we get in there. We poke the wound.
We talk all the way through it from beginning to end.
December 10th to January 17th. That was 5 weeks.
And if you want to read Jeff's beautiful eulogy, he has it posted on his Substack.
Yeah, which you
Monday
can either
in America.
Find it. The Substack is the Defenestrate Weekly.
Oh, that's right. The Defenestrate Weekly.
Yeah.
Right.
But you can find that at, I believe, jmbell.substack.com.
It was beautiful.
Thanks.
The whole thing, yeah.
So we did. We had the funeral last Saturday, and last Sunday I just was not up to doing shows about fucking politics.
You also weren't back up to your house.
I could have. I mean, I could have made that happen.
You could have made. I thought, yeah, he probably could have made it, but no, there's too much shit going on.
It was just. Mm-hmm. Honestly, needed to just sit fucking still for a little while.
Yeah.
So I did.
Yep.
So I did.
Emotionally exhausting the whole thing, and to finally get home after all of that, and it's just been a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Came home, sat around too. It was a rough week. Having a hard time staying focused, having a hard time, you know, not overthinking everything that's happened and what's going to happen in the future, which I, and I know we talked about that a little bit, but last time we recorded, but I really can't talk about it now. But it's going to be good.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Yep.
Karma.
I know. And
karma
to be,
is a bitch.
To be able to be the instrument of karma is going to feel so good.
I know. This is new to me. This whole feeling of like this kind of rage and anger is and revenge.
Tastes great, doesn't it?
There's a part that feels really good. I'm not going to lie.
This is why there's so many books and movies about revenge. Because it's good.
I'm afraid of what I could really do to someone if
I
lash out.
That's a good point you make. Yeah. I know my limits. I have exercised them my whole life. There are things I will not do, you know, but yeah, I don't know about you. You're new to this. You might just kind of hyper obsess.
Yeah. Once
you're gonna get
drunk
on power.
Once I hit a certain level, I'm just all out. There's no coming back.
Well, I mean, for what it's worth, there's a state investigation we kind of have to wait on anyway. So, you know, everything
still,
in its time.
Everything do it at the time. Same time. It was what my nieces and nephew did. While the criminal investigation was going, they got the civil suit ready.
Yep, that's what I'm going to try and do.
Yep. So as soon as the criminal trial started, he was already served with the civil suit papers. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I might ask you more about that when we're done recording.
Yep. I don't know much more than that, but yeah, it did happen. So yeah.
I just want to say one more thing about this, and we do really talk about it on I Told You So, but not all of you listen to that. And so I just have to say, honey, like what you did for your dad and how you took care of him and all that you did, it was beautiful and remarkable, and I am so proud of you. And it meant a lot that I could be a part of that.
Well, you did like five times what I did, so thank you.
No, it was really, it was awesome to see you in that light.
Well, you know, I'm not the angry hard ass that I used to be, but I don't think with the whole dad situation that I would have been in the moment either. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I love the guy. He's been my best friend for 53 years. So, you know, there's just no way.
No, you love and respect him so much. And you can see that through all of your interactions, even at 2:30 in the morning when you're exhausted. And we have a lot to do. You're there and present. And
well, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm uncomfortable.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm blushing, which I tend to do. It's been a rough week in America. Hey, new sign on.
There you go.
That will
like
always
that.
Work.
That'll always work. But it has. It's been a rough week to be an American. And when you look at the news I didn't pick this week, like Davos, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's too much going on.
Yeah.
It's like my rage has hit a level of just I'm numb about it.
You know,
I got in an argument with a dipshit on Facebook, and I never once called him a dipshit. I just I just numbly, rationally argued why he was wrong and knew that he would never change, but I didn't give a fuck because people were giving him a thumbs up. So I'm like, fuck you. You're not getting a thumbs up.
No, I get my catharsis.
I'm going to say why you're wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have not delved into the petty catharsis of the internet screeching I used to do. Mm-hmm. You know, especially back when I was blogging, I was reading some old stuff when I was looking for something else. Look, when it's time to write a eulogy, you're going to find excuses not to do it. Mm-hmm. So I was digging through a bunch of old writing in a lot of my old blog stuff. And like, I don't recognize that voice in me anymore as my written word, but mm-hmm. it sure was closer to my internal dialogue back then. You know?
Yeah. As screechy as I was even 5-6 years ago, I'm not that anymore. I got kind of, you know, I want to keep my job. But two, it just comes down to the fact that there's just nothing, it's not going to change anything. It's just that when some friend types something and some asshole says something really bigoted on their feed, it's like, okay. Here you go. And then I guess the other day I had a friend who I haven't spoken to in a long time. He popped up on Facebook, said, explain to me why Obama's use of ICE is different than this current one. Why didn't people protest Obama's use of ICE? We're like, they did. Not like they are in Minneapolis, because their default is to do a street protest. But it was like, yeah, I said, no. I said, well, it could have to do with, you know, murdering two people in cold blood.
Yep.
It could have to do with violating the 4th, 6th, and 8th Amendments.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yep.
And none of the, I mean, even though Obama was the deporter in chief, you got to say ICE never violated anyone's rights.
Well, they probably did.
They probably did, but we never.
Not like this.
Not like this, not at this level.
Yeah, and you know, Obama didn't have concentration camps. And,
yeah, exactly.
And Obama gave everybody due process. What Obama did mm-hmm. to be the deporter in chief was to start beefing up the judicial end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, yeah, his ICE went out and they caught folks. And those folks went through the process and then got deported.
They specifically targeted people who had committed crimes that needed to be deported. Violent yeah. crimes. And he deported a lot of people, a lot more than they even have at this point, with all these massive raids and everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's just, yeah.
Yeah. No, not Obama's crowning fucking achievement by any stretch of the imagination. And when I have to mm-hmm. talk about it, I don't talk about it with a point of pride, like, we did better than you did. It's just like, we shouldn't have done it either.
But at least the way we did it
followed the fucking rules. And you don't get what we have here, which is Alex mm-hmm. Jeffrey Pretty, the second fucking American citizen murdered by ICE in Minneapolis. And it's straight out fucking murder. And right now you got the White House saying, well, he had a gun. Who carries a gun? Why would you carry a gun? Only criminals carry a gun. It's like, hey, NRA,
mm-hmm.
where you at, buddy?
Exactly.
You hearing this one, NRA? Because he had a concealed carry permit. He was legally allowed to carry in the state of Minneapolis. And he was doing what the good guy with a gun does. He hadn't drawn his gun. He hadn't drawn his weapon, but he was defending someone that ICE had chem sprayed in the face, had pepper sprayed in the face,
and thrown
and
to, the
to the ground.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He was an ICU nurse at the VA.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a piece of video of him. Giving final words as a veteran passed and was about to be, you know, taken out of the hospital for the mortuary. And I saw him emotionally, pay respect to and honor this dead veteran. And that was this guy. He was an mm-hmm. ICU nurse. He was an observer. He yeah. had his phone out. Now, if you look at the video, which I have, and I'm pretty pissed that I have as many times as I have, not only does he let them know that he's carrying because he has the permit, they took it away and threw it backwards. It was far, far away from him. Both of his hands were on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one dude shot him. And we don't know yet how many other dudes shot him. Just that there were at least nine more shots.
I think it was two guys. So what I saw was like six or seven guys piling on him.
Yep.
The shot goes off and a big group of them all just backed off. One guy was fucking running away like, I don't want to be any part of this now. You know, don't recognize me with my mask and hat and dipshit look. So he was running away. Three other guys backed off. There were two left standing over him. And I could see the one guy still pointing the gun at him. But by this point, bystanders were screaming, so I didn't hear the other shots or see where the other shots came from. So, but I figure it had to be those two guys that were standing over him that would have put the other shots into him. But they did it standing. Yeah, well, the first shot goes off while they're all on the ground. Then they both stand up, and he must have emptied it. I think he just emptied his clip into the guy. So, yeah.
One guy's easier to catch than three.
Yep.
If ever it happens. I know Walt's called in the National Guard.
Good.
I don't know. I think they're serving as a buffer between ICE troops, the goose steppers, and the protesters. But I honestly don't. I haven't really. We've been recording, so I haven't really been able to watch the news.
So they have these. Everybody in Minneapolis that's protesting has these whistles, so that if they live in neighborhoods like Somali neighborhoods or Latino neighborhoods, they have these whistles, and if they see ICE driving down, you just hear these whistles going off all down the street, which is warning people, get the fuck out. ICE is on its way.
Remember the first season of Andor?
Yeah.
When the bad guys showed up and they all started knocking on pipes?
Yeah.
To let everybody know that the bad guys were here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that.
It was like that, yeah.
I dig it. Another fucked up thing that happened in Minneapolis this week. ICE detained a 5-year-old, used him as bait.
Yeah.
You know, neighbors are like, we got him. He's an American citizen. We got him. We'll take care of him. ICE said no. They arrested a 5-year-old and deported him and his father to Texas.
Yep.
Five-year-old
was supposed to get his mom to come out.
But she's not coming out.
No.
You know,
devastating.
And here's the thing. They were both here on asylum.
Yep.
They were legal. They had done everything right. They had not committed crimes to anyone's knowledge. No.
Yep. And now he and the kid are in fucking Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Very annoying. A bill that would give ICE an additional $10 billion passed this week thanks to, guess what? Some Democrats.
Yep.
Yep. There is. It's.
They were like, well, they already have this slush fund. Well, why are you giving them more money for the slush fund?
Yeah.
Let them use up the fucking slush fund. And then they won't. And don't give them this money. And then they won't have anything.
I was.
Put down the government again if you fucking have to.
Yeah. Patty Murray, Senator of Washington. Saying ICE must be reined in, and unfortunately, neither a continuing resolution or a shutdown would do anything to restrain it, because thanks to Republicans, ICE is now sitting on a massive slush fund it can tap whether or not we pass the funding bill, and then they passed the funding bill.
But we don't have enough money for health care.
Of course not. We gave that all to Argentina.
That's insane.
And now $10 billion to ICE.
Yep.
I mean, $10 billion could cover everyone's insurance premiums for a year.
Yep.
Everyone in this country's insurance premiums for a year. Instead, we give it to ICE to continue to commit human rights violations.
Yep. MS Now sent Trent Tabbett out to cover the general strike in Minneapolis while failing to call it a general strike because, I don't know, accuracy in news, even with the left-leaning news, is still fucking off. You still have Joe Scarborough and Mika What's-Her-Fuck doing the apology tour for Trump being nuts.
So you know, annoyed with them.
Even MSNBC, now MSNOW, or whatever the fuck it's called now, even they sane wash.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
This should not be normalized.
It's gross. We're going to talk about the 25th Amendment a little later in the show. So I just, talked about just on know the, that we know.
I talked about on the comic book podcast how I was watching the final season of Queer Eye. One of the things that was said was when they're talking about, they're working with this teacher who works at a school in Washington, D.C., where, like, these kids had four members of their class shot, you know, shot and killed
yeah.
In gang violence and stuff. And he said, you know, it's funny, people see a photo of, and the one guy, Jonathan, he says, you know, people see photos of me in a dress online, and somebody will always comment, this is what we're normalizing now. He said, you know what's more offensive to be normalized is school shootings.
Yeah.
Is human rights violations. And it's like the news just normalizes this shit. And it's like it shouldn't be normalized. We should be in their face every day, in senators and congressmen's face saying, should we abolish ICE? ICE needs to be abolished. Why aren't you, you know, what actions are you taking against ICE and their behavior? Yeah.
Yep. All right. It's a general strike. What do we need? We need a general strike nationwide.
Yep.
You know? And it needs to happen, and it actually needs to have bodies there. You know that I am of the opinion that protests in this day and age are important. Mm-hmm. It is a perfect visual to let our allies know that someday we will try and fix this. You have to know that we're not all fucking nuts over here. Those are some of the things that are good for a protest. But when you protest mm-hmm. a bunch of clowns like these assholes that could give a shit.
Yep.
You know, do I think it's going to make change? Not per se, but when it stops or when it starts costing his asshole buddies a shitload of money, you know, Target's reeling. I mean, they're all over the fucking place. They're not fixing what they broke. Which is pretty fucking easy to check, but, I mean, they're twisting. They're trying to figure it out because boycotts and strikes work. Historically, they work.
General strikes, especially in areas that are like IT and that kind of stuff, is going to be a bit, you know, like these internet companies and social media companies. This is things that these guys have their money in. And if you have a general strike... And they pay attention to it. I mean, look what happened. We weren't going to mention Davos, but Trump had threatened all these tariffs on Britain and the Nordic countries and everything. And he's like, it'll be 10% now, and then it'll go up to 30% then if I don't get Greenland. Within a day after Davos, he got word that the stock market was crashing, which affects his bottom line because he made $1.4 billion last year.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, shit, back it off on tariffs. Because, you know, Taco, Trump always chickens out. So, yeah, he backed off on his tariffs immediately. It will fucking work if we have a general strike.
Yeah, we need one. We desperately need one. All right, let's take a break. When we get back on the other side, we've got more bad news.
Yay.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire, and as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, JC, Jocelyn, and Jeff assemble for more news and reviews from the world of comic book entertainment. In Tinseltown, we remember Midnight Oil's Rob Hurst and fantasy author Dreen Rabb. Is Kathleen Kennedy still head of Lucasfilm?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Who will write Batman the Brave and the Bold?
That sounds like a soap opera.
We watch Star Trek, Starfleet Academy, Queer Eye, Lord of the Rings, Wake Up Dead Man, The Running Man, and Fallout. In comics, is Gail Simone returning to Deadpool?
One can only hope.
Will Rick Veitch's story about the Swamp Thing meeting Jesus ever be released?
In nomine Patri et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
We review The Last Starship number 4, Captain America number 6, Battleground, The Mortal Thor number 5, Kill All Immortals number 2, Superman, the Kryptonite Spectrum, and the new history of the DC Universe. All that, and Chip Zdarsky is mad.
When isn't he mad?
Facefront, True Believers, is the world's greatest comic book podcast, available Tuesdays on thecomicbookpodcast.com and just about anywhere you can find podcasts.
What do you call the sweat between two rednecks having sex?
Oh, Lord, what?
Relative humidity. Just got pop-up ad after pop-up ad on everything.
Your pop-up ads are very interesting to me.
Well, they are what they are.
They're kind of all over the place. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. Jessica Tarlov, who I think is one of the toughest, most down-to-earth, I mean, just badass women working for Fox, of all fucking places. She did an interview with John Lovett from Pod Save America, and he busted her balls a few times about being on Fox, and she's just like, somebody has to do this. There has to be a person, and it's her, and she didn't fuck around on Fox News, The Five. Instead, she brought receipts and threw down the facts in front of the network's idiots. Those clowns that are impervious to facts. Once the worst parts of the conservative talking points is when they try to justify the detention of a five-year-old, little Liam Ramos, when he returned home from school, the child was in the country legally, but somehow that's justifiable for Trump enablers, and they twist the facts of the case. So Tarlov popped up with, so I think what we should do is listen to what law enforcement themselves are saying about how ICE is carrying out these operations in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and all over the country. Minnesota Department of Corrections does a press conference. DHS is spreading persistent misinformation regarding ICE detainers. They need to set the record straight. Hennepin County Sheriff, ICE agents are radically profiling U.S. citizens, including off-duty cops. Brooklyn Park Police Chief saying that I've received endless complaints about civil rights infringement, including being stopped with no cause, which has also happened to off-duty cops, too. All of them have been people of color. Well, we know they're racial profiling because the Supreme Court told them they could.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. So there are now new court documents out with these new lawsuits about the conditions that these kids are being held in, talking about contaminated food with mold and worms and not enough water. A Texas medical examiner just ruled a death of a detainee in ICE custody was a homicide. He was choked so hard that blood vessels burst in his eyelids.
Gosh.
An ICE agent is talking to a woman who's a legal observer, and he says, "Why are you taking pictures?" She continued, and he says, "Why are you taking pictures?" And he says, "Because we have a nice little database, and now you're considered a domestic terrorist." We know they want to use administrative warrants, which is not how the Fourth Amendment works, to be able to break down doors. ICE is out of control. If you don't want to believe the stories about what, you know, the women are blocking traffic, and it's crazy protesters with blue hair and white moms who don't have anything better to do, listen to law enforcement who are saying that ICE is not operating properly. Now, of course, she was tutted.
Yes.
Yeah. But, man, that woman just, the politics girl, that's her name, not my name. That's the name she gave herself.
Yeah, politics girl, love her.
She's been on the TV a lot the last couple of weeks and been making one headline after another. I mean, and what she does is amazing. What she does is great, you know, but she's in a place where she has been invited on to be that person amongst other folks that call themselves moderate. Whereas Tarlov goes right the fuck into the five with those other ass clowns, you know, and fights the battle for truth, justice, and the American way, you know, on a daily Monday through Friday, I believe. Basis.
It is a daily show. they put her on there because they wanted to show the ridiculousness of the woke liberal. And she has just been, I mean, she's certainly better than, what was his name? Combs.
Combs. That, I was just singing him.
Hannity used to have, you know, as his whipping boy. Yeah.
Hannity definitely had him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Alan Combs.
Alec Combs, yeah, he was the bottom.
That's he was a sure. soft yeah. bottom. That's what he was. I mean, seriously, where the fuck is he now? Is he even alive? I'm looking it up. Hang on a sec.
I don't know. Alec Combs, I have no idea. Yeah.
Alan, it was C-O-M-B-S.
Yep.
Alan Combs. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Let's see. Was an American radio and television host, liberal political commentator for the Fox News Channel, and blogger from 96 to 2009. Combs served as the co-host along with Sean Hannity of Hannity and Combs. He died in 2017. That's why you don't hear about Alan Combs anymore. He soft-bottomed his way into the hereafter.
I see.
He did. But you know, when he went face down, ass up. Look, one of the only people that annoys me on the left more than Alan Combs used to annoy me is fucking mm-hmm. Paul Begalia. That guy can bite me, you know?
Mm.
Or as we used to say back in the day, he can eat my shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't fun. I'm not fond of Paul Begalia. There's a few here and there. I can't think of all their names, you know, that aren't political figures, because there are plenty of those I want gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Donna Brazile can just fuck right off and go away forever. I don't care. She mm-hmm. broke Al Gore, and it turns out he was a funny, sweet, endearing man, and yep. he was too shy to do that, and instead of working on his shyness, she just kept putting him in fucking costumes. Mm-hmm. You know? Al and Tipper Gore are not heavy petters. I don't care. I don't care. Now, whatever they do behind closed doors is fine, and it's probably pegging, but who knows? But I'm just saying, the public awareness of Al Gore and Tipper Gore were that they were uptight, stodgy. Tipper, especially after what she did to music.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so for him to walk out on stage and buckle her down like some sort of weird World War II photograph, which, by the way, is quite problematic, as the two in that kissing photo, the sailor and the nurse, did not know each other, and he did not ask for consent.
Nope.
But she was pretty pissed off about that the rest of her fucking life, but which is great, which she should be. Mm-hmm. Okay. After creating a crisis over Greenland, Trump declares a victory and ends it. You know what he got? Everything we already had.
Yep.
Yep.
Of course.
They basically sat him down and said, this is what will happen if Russia invades Greenland. And he's like, oh. And they said, this is what will happen if China invades Greenland. He goes, oh, because it's exactly what he wanted. What he really wanted was to strip mine Greenland. But yeah. he knows he's not going to get those rights. So... And they're basically saying, you can come and, you know, we can set up things for mineral mining. We have space for it. Just have the companies come in and we'll, you know, if you broker the deal, you can arrange a deal for yourself. He's like, oh. Yeah.
Yep. So after first threatening a trade war and then hinting at an actual war to take control of Greenland away from Denmark, Trump Wednesday back down from all of his threats and claimed victory. He crowed about a framework of a future deal reminiscent of his, quote, concept of a plan, end quote.
He literally said concept of a deal.
Yep. to solve the future healthcare crisis.
Yep.
As sufficient to end a weeks-long crisis of his own creation. Fuck.
So this is his ninth war that he's...
Oh, yeah. Does he get to count this as a war that he stopped?
Oh, yeah. Clearly. This will be his ninth war that he solved. And Norway should have given him the Nobel Peace Prize, even though Norway itself has nothing to do with the Nobel Peace Prize. They just happen to have the Nobel headquarters in Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's it. And they told him that, too, flat out. They're like, dude, we're the government. We have nothing to do with the Nobel. The Nobel is a private entity. And he's like, whatever. Yeah, you do. They're okay, right there.
We're pissed at... We're pissed at you that Stellan Skarsgård hasn't won an Oscar. How about that?
You know what? Yeah. I'm mad about that too, and that is Trump's fault. as far as I'm concerned.
If Trump not getting a Nobel Peace Prize is Norway's fault, then Stellan Skarsgård not getting an Academy Award is obviously Trump's fault.
What's the younger one, the oldest son? Which of the Skarsgårds? He's the one that was in The Northman.
Yeah, the handsome Skarsgård.
Yeah. I saw him giving a talk the other day when he was talking about how he and his dad were up for a couple of the same awards. Mm-hmm. And so he started talking shit, and the next thing you know, his nomination's ground to a halt, and now his dad's been nominated for an Oscar, and he hasn't. And he's like, maybe I overdid it.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said something about his dad, about them not nominating dad this whole time.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys remember, but Trump wanted to buy Greenland back in his first term.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody said no, and then he went to this, well, I'm going to take it away then. And everybody said, no. You know, in the second term, Trump has intentionally chosen staff who uncritically support his every whim. Trump and top Nazi Stephen Miller have openly pushed a might makes right foreign policy that undoes decades of post-World War II order that at least attempted to establish international rules and laws. Not that we have spent a lot of time working on those.
No. Everybody obeys them to a point. Yeah.
Yeah. The International Criminal Court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like we are so, so inoculated against it as a country. It's nuts.
Yeah. We're immune to any of that. Whereas like the president of the Philippines just got his ass hauled in there.
Good.
Hague. A couple of other guys did. I was waiting for Maduro to get his ass hauled in there, but then Trump decided to abduct
him. Well, did you see that oil. Neither Putin nor Netanyahu would go to Davos because they'd be arrested at the airport?
If they stepped off a plane at the airport, they would have been arrested, yes.
Yep. Chicken.
Yep. And Trump put them on his coalition of peace.
Oh, his peace council. Yeah.
Yeah. They're on his peace council. And then that tells you what the peace council is all about.
Uninvited Canada for being mean.
Mm-hmm.
Carney's like, you're being an asshole. He's like, oh, you called me an asshole.
Yep.
It's like, well, you're being an asshole. Hey. Speaking of assholes.
He is an asshole.
The Florida bar. Assholes. Let Matt Gaetz, asshole, off the hook by agreeing with him that statutory rape has nothing to do with being a practicing attorney. Florida bar downplayed a congressional finding. Within the space of 2 months. Why are you reading? Why is this reading? What is happening? What did I do? Oh, stop. Mute site. Thank you. Sorry about that, gang. But I clicked on the paragraph and it started reading.
There's a listen to this article at the very top, and it probably will take any click.
Look at that. Every time you click on a paragraph,
it's all highlights. So it's all activated. Right, if you scroll up to the top, you'll see a listen to this article.
Yeah,
and that's what's getting activated when you click on on any of that.
Oh, I hate this. I hate it a lot.
Yep, this is. Yeah,
is this the future? Because it can fucking bite
me.
Or as the kids say, eat my shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Florida bar downplayed. Go ahead.
As a rated government expert in this, you're not supposed to do that.
Yep. Let's see. The Florida bar downplayed a congressional finding that Matt Gaetz, President Trump's first choice for U.S. Attorney General, committed statutory rape before it abandoned his prosecution. Within the space of 2 months, the end of the year, the Bar Grievance Committee took preliminary steps towards investigating Gaetz, then used an unorthodox excuse to avoid following through the file, which under the bar rules will disappear from public view within months, was released last week at the Florida Bulldogs' request, saying Lisa Lerman, professor of law emerita at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., says it's an embarrassment to the legal profession, and I think the Florida bar should be embarrassed because for the system to be respected, it has to be applied even-handedly.
Nothing embarrasses Florida. Nothing.
I was going to say, this is the Florida bar. They're not going to be embarrassed by anything. They're already an embarrassment.
They're like, statutory rape? Was it with a person? Yeah? That's not the weirdest thing that happened on my way to work.
It's true.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, they closed the Gates file without actually opening it. Casey Please Waterhouse wrote to Gates on August 15th. Waterhouse is a family lawyer in Fort Walton Beach, a city in Gates's Panhandle Area Congressional District, saying that the committee's May 12th decision to close the Gates file, quote, was not based on a determination that the House report's findings were not accurate. So they're like, we know he did it. The files say so. The evidence is there. But, yeah, he can still be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're lawyers.
They'll justify anything.
Some will. There are good lawyers. There are really good lawyers. You know, but when they go bad, woo, howdy. They go bad. I didn't know this. I don't know if you knew this, but I knew this first part. It's the second part I didn't know. But Stephen Miller's wife, okay, right there. You're like, wait, what? Like, pretty sure he bought her on the internet. She probably talks like this. Hello, I'm married to Stephen Miller. He bought me from my uncle, who is foreskin of pig.
My name is Katie.
Hello, I'm Katie Miller. Welcome to America First. Fearless leader would like us to make podcasts. Isn't that great, Natasha? It really is. Critics mocked MAGA podcaster Katie Miller, and there it is. That's the thing I didn't know. Katie Miller has a podcast. Makes me feel dirty, but I know mine's older.
Yep.
You know,
and at least, you know, on the right side of history.
Yeah.
Unlike Katie Miller's old Nazi enough podcast.
Old enough to know better, young enough to do it again. The Left Show. Right. Hey, I got another one. What was the first one? It's been a pretty fucking awful week.
Yeah.
All right, so critics mocked MAGA podcaster Katie Miller after she attempted to troll California Governor Gavin Newsom over him going to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Newsom, potential 2028 Democratic presidential contender, who has repeatedly mocked and slammed Donald Trump in recent months, has said that he will use his address at the annual event to slam Trump's economic agenda. Miller, who's married to Trump White House Deputy Chief of Staff, Herr Stephen Miller, Joel.
Oberführer.
She snarked on Twitter saying, of course, Gavin Newsom is going to Davos. Then she followed up by adding, nothing quite says America first, like commiserating to the crowd at the world's elites. You either stand up for America or you should sit down. That's what Katie Miller said.
Boy, Katie, that aged well.
Yeah, that aged well pretty fast. Justin, who has a check mark, says, Trump will be there. What were you saying, dummy? Mike Nellis says Trump is also going to Davos this week, but whatever. The Salty Sea says, idiot, Trump is going to Davos. Gabe Rosenberg saying, of course, Donald Trump is going to Davos. Nothing quite says America first, like commiserating to the world's elites. You either stand up for America or you should sit down. Little play on, little handing it back.
That's my favorite.
Little handing it back. Jason Bell, hopefully a relation, saying, your dear leader is going to, you clown. I hadn't read that one yet. That was pretty good. That is pretty good. What is this? Trump is attending as well. Laugh. Donald Trump will be going to Davos this week. Also, lol. Anything to say about the other guy going to Davos? Yeah, they just keep going on and on. That one wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. But you know what? That's all right, because it's time to take a break.
Yeah.
So let's do that. We come back. I've got some more general news and a little bit where you may not be happy about it, but at least you'll go, fuck yeah. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the shows. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/DFNmedia. Patreon.com. DEFEN.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
All right. You went to Burns Night this week.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Tell people what that is.
So Burns Night is an annual celebration of the poet, the great poet of Scotland, Robert Burns, or Rabbi Burns, as they call him in Scotland. He wrote, well, Of Mice and Men, the Steinbeck story,
yes,
is that title is based on Burns's poem To a Mouse. There are several other pieces of literature that owe their titles and stuff to Robert Burns.
Ode to a Haggis.
You address the haggis, you know.
Hello, haggis.
Oh, king of puddings. It's actually a poem called The Address to a Haggis. Yeah, it's like, fair fire, broad and sunsy face, great king of the pudding race. I love that poem. He wrote all of his poetry in Old Scots. When I was 14, his poem, A Red, Red Rose, was written for a character in a play we were doing. And we were like, that is a weird way to do it, because love was spelled L-U-V. And so the director said, say it, love, you know, do it with an accent. So they did it with an accent the whole time. And I was like, okay, so I guess it's a weird little thing they wrote into this play. And then I get into college, and there's a course that I wanted to take, which was English. And I made this joke. I said, the course was English literature after the 1600s. And I thought that was perfect, because although I knew Shakespeare very well, it meant I didn't have to study Chaucer. I got one laugh from the audience. One person in the audience got that.
No shit, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nothing'll give you a headache like listening to a professor try to explain Chaucer to you.
I don't know. I had a business professor try and teach me Shakespeare. So
yeah,
I think we could probably argue about that one.
We could commiserate that one. But anyway, I said that. We got to the unit on Rabbi Burns, and that there was that poem. And I said, oh, it wasn't Southern, it was Scottish. And then I recited the poem to the crowd. I said, the poem is designed because they had mentioned in the opening, into the introduction, that Rab had fathered, they counted at least 6 children of 4 different women. in his time in the 1700s. So, yeah, he was quite the ladies' man.
Well, being a poet used to be sexy.
Yeah. I said, so this poem was what he used to woo women, and I gave him Red, Red Rose. I said, it's traditionally sung. I didn't even know it was a song until a few years ago. And you're lucky about that because you don't want to hear me sing. So then I went into the poem.
That's a fair point, sir. That's a fair point. Yeah.
I was really hoping that the story was going to, you were going to say that you stood up and delivered it in a Southern accent because you didn't know better.
No, oh, that would have been great.
That could have been fun too. Oh, my love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in Jean.
How embarrassing that would have been.
Yep.
That would.
I had no idea it was Scottish.
The first time I tried to say hyperbole in public, and I'd only ever read it before. It'd be about that embarrassing.
And Kyla will not let you leave that down.
Yep.
This young lady got up and she said, yeah, I kind of grew up in Scotland. My grandparents lived there, and we would stay with them every year. And she said, I learned, you know, all the words to Donald Where's Your Trousers, you know, learned to eat these certain foods, all this kind of stuff. And when I was in high school, I went, I was in a class in this, the teacher was, we were doing Grapes of Wrath Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. And the teacher asked, well, does anybody know where that title comes from? And I said, well, it's from Rabbi Burns, because that's what my grandmother always called him. And the teacher said, I don't know who that is. I don't think that's right. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure, because the line in there is, the best laid plans of mice and men. It's actually in the poem, in his poem To a Mouse. And she said, well, he must have written it after Steinbeck.
Boo.
Yeah. So here
time
we
travel,
have
eh?
an English teacher telling someone that a 17th century poet wrote something after, or an 18th century poet wrote something after a 20th century author. Yes. Well done.
So she voted Republican.
So she called her grandmother. She said, I called my grandmother that afternoon and told her what happened. And she said, well, what's the teacher's name?
Ah.
And she told her, and she said, oh, well, there's your problem. She's English.
English. Only the English would believe that the Scots could time travel to plagiarize.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how that works. I don't know, man. No, that's beautiful. I'm glad you got to go. You guys looked great.
Yeah, you guys looked fantastic.
We sat with friends. Overall, I would say they tried. I wouldn't say it was a great Burns night, but they tried.
Hey, so. Trying is half the battle.
Yep.
The other half is over.
It was over before we knew it, and they ran out of haggis before I got to it. So.
Oh, no.
That's the crime.
You know
that
what
was a crime.
I have down in the kitchen right now? I have a can of haggis from the Caledonian kitchen.
Yep. I have haggis. I have freezers. I have haggis in the freezer, a couple of them. But, yeah, we were just like, oh, well, that sucks. So tonight is the night of recording, Sunday night, is Burns' actual birthday, but we decided we were probably going to go get some salmon or something, because that's another Scottish traditional dish. So
I'm going to do something as soon as I can afford it. So this may be a little while, but as soon as I can afford to purchase a real live, because the casing, you know,
yeah,
that makes it the sausage, the gigantic fucking sausage shape that it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy it in a can, it's just the guts. There's no casing.
It's just the filling. Yeah, don't have a casing.
So when I can buy a proper haggis, I'm gonna smoke it. I'm gonna put it in a smoker. And I'm gonna smoke it.
It is so good smoked. You'd have to permeate the casing a little bit so the smoke gets in there.
Yeah.
What's nice is if you do it this way, boil the haggis like you traditionally do, boil it in the casing, and that when you take the casing off, the haggis is solid. You're actually supposed to slice it.
Yeah, like a pudding.
And serve it that way. Instead of getting just a mush of meat, you're supposed to slice it. Then you could take that solid piece, put it in the smoker for a little bit, get that smoky flavor on it, and then serve it.
I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about using the guts as, like, we smoked a meatloaf not too long ago before I ran out of chips. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest problem. I've run out of chips. But yeah, we smoked a meatloaf that turned out quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, yep. It can come out very nice. It all comes out very nice. And honestly, if you took it out of its casing and just put it in a pan, it would come out like a meatloaf. So
yeah.
Men and your meats.
A lot of people were saying it tasted, the people who got the haggis were like, oh, it reminds me of meatloaf. And I'm like, delicious meatloaf, but all right.
Yeah. If you get it in America, where we're not allowed to use most of the parts that go in a haggis, processed
well,
food.
Honestly, I had haggis multiple times when I was in Scotland, and there really isn't much of a flavor difference.
No shit.
The lung does not add much flavor. So
it does by itself.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's nasty by itself. No, you want to have, if you're going to have a haggis, the flavors that come out of haggis are heart and liver more than anything. So
yeah. Yeah, but I'm thinking about cracking that can tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Lord.
Robbie Burns is one of my favorites. I do have favorite poets, and he is right there at the top of the list.
You probably have tatties to make mashed potatoes.
I do have potatoes.
You need to go get a rutabaga to have the neeps.
I don't much care for rutabaga.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big fan. Got
to
be
honest. That's a tough one. I've made neeps multiple times. You have to boil it up and then mash it. And the thing is it takes so fucking long to boil a rutabaga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's super hard, a super hard vegetable. And it pissed me off because we thought it was turnips because it was always neeps. Well, that means turnips. And so we got a turnip and it wasn't right. It's
nope.
Like, this is not right. This
I've done that
mashed
too.
Mashed turnip is wrong. And so we finally found out, They also call them Swedes. Swedish turnip. What's a Swedish turnip? A rutabaga. Ah, there we go. We've always used the Swedish term. Rutabaga.
That's fair.
Yep.
That does sound good, though. Now I'm super hungry. And we still have the rest of the show to do.
Yep.
Jack Smith testified. We'll probably talk about that next week. I'd like to watch more of it. And it was an all-day thing, and I just didn't have the bandwidth to watch C-SPAN. Nor the cable connection.
You see the congressman who read Trump's Truth Social tweet? And he says, do you have any replies? Smith's like, no. it was like he's just, you know, I mean, the congressman he read it and then he went off and off and off about how Trump is wrong and blah, blah, blah. And he said, do you have any comment? And Jack Smith's like, no. And I'm thinking, well, why would he? You said it all, everything he would have said.
Yep. So Jack Smith detailed chapter and verse of all the lengths Donald Trump went to in order to spearhead a massive conspiracy to steal the 2020 elections, which he lost like an absolute bitch.
Yep.
Trump was so triggered by it that he started having a temper tantrum on Truth Social. Former D.C. cop and January 6th survival Michael Fanone almost beat the shit out of far-right conspiracy theorist creep while wearing a Dropkick Murphys Fighting Nazis Since 1996 t-shirt. Legendary. Somebody should tell Fanone about Tom Morello's Nazi Lives Don't Matter t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That has a link. I'm going to click on that.
That sounds like a great t-shirt, yep. Though.
That basically this fucking clown, this right-wing douchebag, whose name I'm not going to say, had not only threatened Fanone's family, had threatened to rape his daughters.
What?
Yep.
The fact that Michael Fanone didn't actually literally beat the shit out of this guy is that's Fanone right there, and that's the creepo right there. And if you see right now, creepo.
He said the guy put out his hand to get shaken, and Fanone just lit into him.
Yep.
Yeah.
But if you'll notice in the picture, creepo has his phone out, and he's recording the whole thing for his social media.
Yep.
Because the people that listen to him don't care that he would rape someone's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit. But I do. Yep. I do like this giant guy behind Fanone going, "Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on."
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Fanone also coughed, you know, bullshit. And a different time, go fuck yourself. I fucking love this dude. Love him. Absolutely love him. What else we got going on here at the end? Oh, that's the How much are we paying? $35? Come on, Tom Morello. That's a very expensive t-shirt. I'm a little I'm a little disappointed that something so important should cost so much money.
Etsy. You find him on Etsy.
Fuck that. I make my own. But, I mean, it's Tom Morello. I want to support the guy. Yeah. He's coming from the right place. He's messaging in the right direction. He's doing the Lord's work until you get to his fucking merch. And then you're like, well, I guess it is less than a concert t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think the Trekkies Against Fascism t-shirt's about the same price.
Yep. That's why I don't have one of those either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, if you can buy a t-shirt for $5, actually, and I have bought in bulk before, you can buy a good t-shirt if you buy them 300-400 at a time for a couple of bucks each.
Mm-hmm.
You handle printing, you handle this, you handle that. A good t-shirt should run you about $20 if you're doing it right. Everything else. And that's why if you pop over to theleftshow.com and you scroll down there on the right side and you click our merch button, you will see that we have cut the profit levels on our t-shirts. That we don't make a penny on them because I refuse to buy expensive t-shirts for the most part. There is one. Did you see that one with Kermit as Roy Schneider from Jaws?
No, I haven't.
It's the scene where he's chumming, right?
Yeah.
And the shark comes up and he turns around and he says, "We're going to need a bigger boat."
Mm-hmm.
But it's Kermit with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and the little Roy Schneider glasses looking away with the shark coming up behind him. And it's that moment. And I'm just like, I love this t-shirt more than any t-shirt I've seen in 5 years. And I shot it over to Tiffany and she's like, I don't get it.
I still don't get it.
It's just funny.
I don't get why it's funny.
I don't know how to explain it. It's
I've never seen Jaws, though. So did I?
You've seen the first 10 minutes of Jaws.
Okay.
Seen the first 10 minutes of a lot of movies.
A lot. I think most movies, I've seen the first 10 minutes.
That is a great t-shirt. I found it. That's a great fucking t-shirt.
And it's perfect. The look on Kermit's face is fucking right fucking on.
Yep. I'm going to need a bigger boat.
Yep. Going to need a bigger boat. What do we got here? Ed Markley, Democrat of Massachusetts, senator, is calling on Trump's cabinet and vice president to remove him from office via the 25th Amendment. Markey shared a New York Times headline on Twitter about Trump's letter to Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Stoltenberg, which noted that, see, more Muppets. It's all Muppets, babe. It's all about the Muppets.
I see.
Yep. Which noted that since he was not awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, he no longer feels an obligation to think purely of peace. Markley replied, "Invoke the 25th Amendment." Because there's not much else to say.
Yep.
There really isn't. What else we got? We got about a minute and a half to wrap this up. A CNN medical analyst has urged Congress to examine Trump's fitness after this latest stunt. Same thing. This is medical analyst Jonathan Reiner on Monday called for a congressional inquiry into Donald Trump's, quote, presidential fitness. When I hear the words presidential fitness put together, I think of him also not being able to do that.
No, he would not pass that test either.
Yep. And then to wrap up this trifecta, Dick Cheney's doctor has demanded that Congress inquire into Trump's mental fitness. When the creature in the dark mountaintop laboratory keeps his creature alive for as long as he did, you want to pay attention to that doctor because he knows some shit.
Well, it comes down to it. They would need an independent doctor or group of doctors to examine him because the ones they're given those quote-unquote cognitive tests that he keeps taking and I pass them. I ace the cognitive test. It's like, yeah, you don't. You don't. You really don't. But
I didn't eat crayons last time I read a book. I'm sorry, Marines. You guys at least had the balls to put on a uniform. Boom! You eat your crayons, boys. You eat them. You earned them. Go, America.
Those crayons are for you, Marine.
They are.
Not for Donald.
Remember, the red ones taste like juicy fruit. No, the other
the
red
yellow.
One. No, the other red one. No, the other red one. No, the other red. Which box did you? Oh, the big box. Yeah, it's one of those. Just keep eating. That's it for us this week. What we're going to go now, go do now is pop over to Patreon. Patreon.com/DefenMedia. D-E-F-E-N Media. Every week we record, we put special content for you over there. This week, you got some fun stories of my childhood with I Told You So. So even weeks we don't record, I try and stick something special extra for you in there. If you didn't catch it this week, we very indulgently said goodbye to Marv Bell, who raised me. Our dad.
Yeah.
Frankly. and that's over at theleftshow.com. That's the I Told You So. And we did a little special number on Patreon, which is where we're headed now. So, with all of that said, thank you, John. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Marvin.
Thanks, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good.
He once called me a Republican. I cannot love him more.
Didn't he say you were going to become a Republican?
No, he said, it was like, he'd come to see you, you were staying with me, he came to get you, you guys left for a while, and as he dropped him off, he said, make sure you say hello, say goodbye to my favorite Republican for me.
Nah.
Meaning me. I was like, because he kept saying all of our arguments were coming off as Republican, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, Dad voted Republican because of family tradition. Dad was mm-hmm. not a very good Republican.
No.
Nope. Just a really dumb voter. All right. Now that we've shit-talked my dad, let's all go do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DefenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.